John, have you started that audio? Because I'm not hearing anything.
Yeah, actually, I did. Let me see if I can. I guess I didn't hit the sound button here. Hang on a second. Sound now, right?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, January 15th, 2024. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question, you can send your... Oh, hold on a minute. Sorry. Okay, if you're listening live over another radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to nationallibertyalliance.org, questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. That's plural, questions. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab, top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last Monday in our Bible reading. We're in the book of Corinthians. We're in the first Corinthians 1. Let me see what chapter 14. So First Corinthians 1, chapter 14, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 14. Follow after charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say Amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. In the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order.
Okay, Jan, do we have any questions or announcements this week?
Yes, John, we have two questions tonight. The first question is, in Bill Thornton's lectures on common law, he states that one should never go into court as a defendant and not to plead at all. How can this action not be mistakenly regarded by the court as pleading no contest? He also states that one should always start by opening a common law court. How can this be done?
Well, countersuing, it depends on the type of the case. Obviously, if it's a criminal case, then there is no countersuit involved in that. But if you're being sued, and I don't know, I've got a strategy I used many years ago before I even started studying the law. And in the beginning, when I was a contractor, I would go to court dealing with a problem. And I found courts to be a problem, and I started to use another process and arbitration. And arbitration worked out very well for me, and I've learned over the years, you really got to calculate your situation, what you're doing. I used to represent a lot of different contractors, in different cases, maybe against, because I was working with contractors, if there was a problem with the owner or a situation on the site. And I've learned that really you got to take control and bring the truth out on whatever it is that you can do that you are responsible for, and then find out what the other side is responsible for, because there's two sides to every story, and sometimes we're both a little wrong and we're both a little right. So it's hard to say on whether someone should always countersue. So I guess it's really on the case, what you'd think about it. As far as making a plea, yeah, look, once you're indicted, it's time to make a plea, okay? And if you're not indicted, then you don't have to make a plea, because then you're given, the court the jurisdiction over you, and you don't want to do that, because if it's a criminal thing, you go get yourself an indictment, or else leave me alone. This should be your attitude. So that really is all I could really say about that. So with an indictment, the other thing, I'll just leave it there. What's your next question?
Okay, the second question pertains to the Brunson court filing with the Supreme Court. We ask people, or they ask people, to write letters to the Supreme Court, in support of their case. And this person did, and this was a year ago, and has not heard anything since. I have not heard anything about the case. John, do you have anything, any late information about what happened, if anything?
Well, I haven't heard anything. I don't think maybe it was time for them to hear the case. We have the same situation from our perspective. We tried to get before the United States Supreme Court on two occasions, and we keep getting blocked by a clerk. Maybe that's the problem they're having. I really don't know. But I've come to realize, really, the case that we're trying to bring before the court really needs to be done when there is the potential of justice. And right now, there is no potential of justice, at least not on the lower end. And I don't think the Supreme Court is ready to hear the case that the Brunson's trying to bring, nor do I think they're really one. Not that they're aware of our case, but I don't think they'd really want to listen or hear our case at this moment in time. So I think further on, when devolution plays its role to a certain point, and that would be after the military makes that move, sometime after that would be the filing for our perspective, for our case. And our case is about bringing justice back into the courts, the common law. There was recently a decision I got to look this up, and I want to talk about it a little later once I find this paper that I put together on what the Supreme Court came out to say just recently. So I'm going to look for that in a minute. We'll come back to that. Are there any other questions?
Yeah, well, this one was kind of interesting, John, because the Brunsons heard from the court, and they said, make these changes and refile it. And they did that within, I'd say, 2 weeks from the time they were asked, in alignment with the court's desire. And yet we haven't heard anything.
The case is still pending. The case is pending. Yeah. And right. actually, I think they actually heard it, but they haven't ruled on it yet. They're holding off their ruling. So I don't know what they're waiting for or how much time that they can hold it off for. But I think that's entirely up to the court. They do what they want to do. But I do believe that the court is following the lead of the military. They do have military people in there. And I think they're just waiting for the right timing. I think it's all going to come out at once. So they haven't announced what their conclusion was. I think they heard it a month ago, if I'm not mistaken. So, but they didn't release their findings yet, or their decision. So it could come any day.
We'll believe it when we see it then, right?
Yeah. I think the court's doing exactly what they're told to do by the White Hats, because I think that, they're playing 3D chess. Some of them have been very much compromised, and I think they were told, go play nice, or we'll take you out under treason. And so that's why we've had some good rulings lately, because they told them, you rule constitutional, and they know what that is. So.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, yeah, do you have any other questions before we move on? I'm going to go back to the last question in a minute, but we'll see what else you have first.
No, that was the extent of the questions tonight, John.
Okay, this is an interest. I don't remember how I got this information. I don't know if someone emailed me something or I just found it and discovered it. I do a lot of research, and sometimes I forget where my information comes from as far as being shown something. And this is a case before the United States Supreme Court just recently, Gorsuch, and this is something Gorsuch said. And this is called a judicial notice from the United States Supreme Court to the lower federal courts. So think about that when we look at this. And the key point is my immediate demand, wish, this is order, this is his command to all of the federal district courts, okay? It is my immediate demand, wish, and order that you restore all that has been unlawfully taken without constitutionally mandated due process. All past cases that bypass the common law are unlawful. Justice Gorsuch. So maybe I'll read through this. In Mann versus Mann, this is the name of the case that he's referring to and speaking out of, he said, we don't usually say the government can avoid a constitutional mandate merely by relabeling or moving things around. It's as much a violation to do something indirectly as it is directly. We usually say, right, maxims, a maxim of law, 4B he's referring to. As a matter of fact, let me see where that's from. I think that's in over years. Let me see. Okay, this is Maxim of the Law from Beauvilliers, 1856. So he's quoting the Maxim of Law. And we quote a lot of Maxims of Law. He who does a thing by another is considered as doing it himself. And he refers to a case, I guess, that this was also in, a collection of Maxims by the Law by Charles Weissman. Please take notice that as agency workers, state judges, presiding judges, state legislators, etc., that you are bound by the Constitution that you have all sworn to uphold. And from this time forward, please be advised that taking children, cars, houses, weapons, rights, properties, etc., without a trial by jury, in a court of record, following the course of a common law, is unlawful. Please also take further notice that attorneys who don't have their name on the line, as they are not in position to service and contract with the people, presenting you with the idea that it's acceptable to trample the people's right by device or artifice, does not in any way remove your responsibility for your wrongdoings. This is pretty powerful. Furthermore, there is another element of wrong being committed when you are working in a federal program and make money outside of your normal salary for carrying out the functions of that program, leaving one with unclean hands on the top of taking property or rights from the people without right. All past cases that bypass the common law are unlawful. That is powerful. Therefore, it is my immediate demand, wish, and order that you restore all that has been unlawfully taken without constitutionally mandated due process, and notify all those who are harmed, or you agree that any wrong that is done in this regret in the future, regard in the future, or that has not been corrected from past trespasses, is done purposely with full knowledge, intent, and malice, and will be recognized as such by the people whom you swore to serve and protect. This notice is sent to you in the peace of love of Jesus Christ, that you may repent and do the works worthy of the same. Now, I added the emphasis by underlining particularly and italicizing and also bolding, but this is a very powerful notice to the federal courts. And, you know, if they were to take this seriously, I don't think they'd have the time to hear any new cases because there's so much that they have to review. I mean, I've got about, what do we have, 200 cases, 150 cases? And some of them are personal of mine, some are personal of a few other people that we've put things together for, and many for other people, of course, that we've done to the federal courts. And in every case, they denied us due process. In every case, they've thrown us out of the court under Rule 12, which is repugnant to the common law and is a denial of due process. This is huge. It's powerful. As a matter of fact, I'm working on a case right now, and we're going through the appeal on the federal level. I'm going to start off with exactly what Gorsuch has said here. So I think Trump did a good job when he picked this guy reading this. But anyway.
Hey, John, let me ask you, can you clarify, is it just Gorsuch's words in the top three lines, that, and then it's someone else's words, and the rest of the paper, or is it all Gorsuch?
This is all Gorsuch's words. These are just sort of like the main purpose or point that he made. I just put it on the top of this paper. This is just a paper for notes for me that I keep. I keep notes, a lot of footnotes. This will end up as in the paperwork outside of a footnote. It'll be actually, I'm going to use this whole piece in the paper that we're doing, because we're going for an appeal. We have a judge that have done, he's written like 6 or 7 orders against us, and but not necessarily me, really. I'm doing this case for someone else. And he's also fined the person $500. They've stolen 80% of his income, the IRS did, without due process. And this judge really couldn't care less. But I've been here before with this thing with other federal judges. And as a matter of fact, I'm starting to prep myself, because I got personally probably about 7 or 8 personal cases that I'm intending on going back into the federal courts with under this premise, and opening them all up and suing them all, including the U.S. attorneys, because they all conspire to do the same thing, and they conspire the same way every time. Doesn't matter. So anyway, he's found us in contempt. He sanctioned us. Again, not us. I'm writing for someone else. It's one person. So he sanctioned him, found him in contempt, and hit him up for $500 when he knows he can't even afford it, because they've already taken his entire living away. So, but that's what we're dealing with in the federal courts, and my opinion is pure evil. These people all belong in jail. Some of them, I really do believe, they've injured in so many people that some of these people, I think, belong at the end of a short rope. But the federal judiciary, they don't really have jurisdiction on most of the cases that they've heard, especially that comes in through the ATF, because the ATF, first of all, has no true real authority to begin with. Second of all, the federal government has no say on we the people, on what we do, even if we cross state lines with a weapon or what. It has none of it's none of their business. We're not selling anything. That's what they're there for. It's commercial activity. That's it. And that's what they're there for. And also activity of individuals who are working for government agencies. You know, that's what equity is all about. That's where their jurisdiction is, as far as subject matter jurisdiction. And they have to have the personam jurisdiction. Personam jurisdiction on a federal level, in most cases, with the exception of being there for the the protection of our rights, they're there really to control what goes on in government, to deal with people. Again, it's called equity, and it's what's being done in government agency, government agents, and also commercial activities. So, anyway, what else? Anything else we have?
No.
Okay, let's see if we have anyone in the queue. We do have a couple of people in the queue. That's good. Okay, we'll go in the queue in a second. I just want to make a note or two, three. You know, I should be announcing this every week. Maybe we can try to remember that, is to remind people that they should bring guests to these meetings. We all have neighbors, we have friends, we have families, and if we can catch their ear, we see they're a little bit interested in the problems that's going on, invite them here. Let's get them involved. Let's get them going. So please, everybody, consider bringing guests. Also, if you're not joined into our campaign for constitutional sheriffs, you really ought to be. Every patriot in this nation should be connected to this Constitution, campaign for constitutional sheriffs. Because in order for us to get our sheriffs back, they have to have a backbone. And that backbone is the Constitution. And they have to have the knowledge of that Constitution. They have to understand their true purpose and what they're there for. They're there. They're not there to protect any of these government agencies or any of these judges or anything. No, they're there to protect the people. That's what this is all about, to uphold the law. And when someone breaks that law, they're to apply it. You know, one of the big things that goes on in courts that really disturbs me greatly is how much power and authority that these judges have taken away from we, the people. They've made us almost as if we don't have no part in the thing at all. They've controlled us and stacked the juries. They stacked the grand juries. They stacked the trial juries. They tell them, well, I'll tell you what the law is. They make the final decision. They decide on what the penalty is going to be. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The people decide. The people decide it all. So in the case of what came up a little earlier when someone was, one of the questions that was asked, when an individual pleads guilty or something, whatever the case may be, or not guilty, that person can only do that in an open court, as far as, because they have to make their decision on how they're going to go forward before the case moves. And it has to be with a full jury in place, not before the jury is brought together, after the jury has been brought together. That's when the person then has to decide for sure, okay, I'm pleading not guilty, or I'm going to plead guilty. And if the person pleads guilty, then the jury has to hear all of the facts of the case anyway, so they can make a decision to decide what the restitution should be. Because common law is about restitution. It's not about punishment. It's about restoring. Not only restoring the individual that was injured, but also restoring the individual that has lost their way, I guess you could say. There's the opportunity of repentance, the opportunity of restitution, the opportunity of coming back into society as an individual who obeys the law and appreciates the liberties of other people. But we don't have a system set up to do that. We put these people, sometimes a lot of these people, we put them in solitary confinement. I mean, that's enough to make a person crazy. We treat them like animals. And maybe some of these people are animals. Maybe they're not salvageable. But that's not for us to decide at this point. The opportunity must always be there. So anyway, when a judge makes a decision and applies the law, which is legislative, the punishments, because that's what they're reading off of. You know, the judge may have the opportunity, where you can give a person 5 years to 15 years for this, or 50 years to life for that, or whatever the case may be. That's none of their business. That doesn't belong to them. That doesn't even belong to them in the courts of equity. Because in a court of equity, when an individual violates the law, and they violated, the whatever it is, whether they're doing commercial and they're then under the equity, or as far as the law is concerned, or if they're doing, an agent working out of an agency and they violated the law and it was a criminal act. Well, once it becomes a criminal act and the Seventh Amendment kicks in, and they have to now be judged in a court of law, not a court of equity, in a court of law. And that court of law has to accept the fact that they contracted with the government to do this commercial activity or to do this particular activity as an agent or an agency operating under those conditions, so that the jury gets to see, well, they were required to do this and that and the other thing by law because they're under that supervision. And then the jury could make the decision and make the application, but the actual... But the crime must really be decided in a court of record, in a court of law, under the Seventh Amendment, and not under a court of equity. And again, they don't talk about this. You don't see this, and people don't know it. This took me years to discover some of these things. And this is where we've got to bring our courts back. We've got to bring our courts back to courts of law. You know, courts of equity is an equity ultimately to do that which is right, to do that which is justice, to do the just thing ultimately. It still falls under common law. Equity falls under common law. It still has to work through its process through maxims. What is sensible? What is logical? What is obvious? What makes sense and what is just? And if you have equity, a statute that is being applied against an individual, and it's unrighteous, then of course that's the way the jury can step in and nullify the law, the power of nullification. Because in a court of law, there is no nullifying the law, because they are the law. And it's all about the facts. It has nothing to do with any kind of a statute. It's about the facts and the injury, and how they're going to deal with that problem. And by the way, someone's got an open mic and we're hearing a radio or something in the background. If you can mute yourself if you're not muted, please. Anyway, I guess with that, that's all I have to say on that. One other question. Terry, have you... I'm looking to see if Brent is here. I spoke with Brent this week, and he had some problems with his computer. And he's getting things back together again. And he
I reached out to him and never got a call back.
Okay. Well, keep your ears open. He was interested in reconnecting here. He had lost all connectivity.
I'll make another attempt.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Okay. Oh, one other thing I guess I'll bring up before we go forward. Again, I want to just push again. Please join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. Buy your sheriff a book, okay? Government by Consent is the book that sheriff needs. There's a whole chapter on sheriffs, and they really need to know everything because we talk about the Constitution. We get into the Bill of Rights. We get into the main focus of the Constitution, the Articles, and, of course, the Declaration of Independence. We get into the common law. We get into everything, all the things that they should know. And we have found, okay, we heard things and little things some people have said. We were having conversations with sheriffs that here in New York have all pretty much gotten the books. And one or two sheriffs we've spoken to were very positive about it, but they still are nervous about moving against judges and different things yet because they don't have enough people behind them. What they need is sheriffs behind them. And so we need to get the message out to the sheriffs. We need to educate the sheriffs. We need to empower the sheriffs. We need to give the sheriffs the backbone. They need to understand what their true powers are, and they need to take back the powers and the authorities that have already been eroded or taken away from them over the years. We have some places where there are no sheriffs. We need to get them back. Connecticut is one place. The whole state of Connecticut has lost their sheriffs. Hawaii, I don't think they've ever had an elected sheriff. I don't think so. Alaska has never had elected sheriffs. They deserve sheriffs. And there are other places. Here in New York, we've lost seven sheriffs. We've lost the sheriffs in all five boroughs of New York City. We've lost them in Westchester County, and we also lost them in Suffolk County on Long Island. So there's seven sheriffs. And I hear from time to time there are movements trying to get rid of sheriffs in other places. Look, it's time for the people to step up and take the power and the authority back. And if you think that Trump is going to save us, he's not going to save us. He may be able to bring things back to where it belongs. The military can come in, do what it has to do to seize back control and give it back to the people. But it's up to the people to receive that power. And if you don't have that, if you don't know, the power is education. And that is the key. You know, we've spoken many times about what Jefferson said concerning people. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. And James Madison had a quote I'd like to read. It says, "Knowledge will forever govern ignorance." Think about this. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance. And a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power knowledge gives. So you can't have power without knowledge. You know, when we first started what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance, we started moving towards the courts and trying to figure out what we can do with the courts, and we heard about United States versus Williams. One of the first things we started to do was to start talking and looking into about creating grand juries. Okay? And we discovered quite quickly, though, by God's mercy, thankfully, that was a wrongdoing. We can't just establish grand juries, sitting or standing grand juries. That's a wrongdoing. That's way too much power for any small group of people to have. That's something that just going, forget about it. We're going to lose it just as quick as we get it back. So if the people can't educate themselves to take control of the power and the authority that they need to do in order and to have that education in order to do it, then you can't have government by consent. So please, let's get books to the sheriffs. And if your sheriff's already got a book, whether you don't know whether they got a book or not, look, it doesn't matter if he's got two books, because maybe his deputy should use it. Certainly his undersheriff should have one too. But anybody that is going to do this, hopefully everyone will eventually do it. Right up here under the sheriffs, join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs, which, by the way, we've got quite a few pages up here I put up recently for the sheriff and the sheriff's information. Let's see. I know there was one other thing I wanted to bring up before we go back. Oh, yeah. Last week I mentioned that we had a conversation with SG and SG Anon, and it went very well. I mentioned that last week. And this week we're going to be meeting with him for a series. He wants to do a series on education, and highlight National Liberty Alliance. And so we're going to be meeting with him on Wednesday for the first of at least a two, possibly a three, and maybe even more part series. You know, at National Liberty Alliance, we have a lot to share, a lot of information, a lot of things. The key thing is education, of course. And for those who don't know, you just go under the education tab that I'm sharing here on the desktop. And here's your education. You know, this is where it starts. Click on education starts here. And it'll take you right through the process. It's a breadcrumb trail. Okay? The other big thing that people need to look at is start a committee of safety. Okay? You know, start a committee of safety. Click here. Follow the breadcrumb trail. Why is it doing that? Okay, I'm not logged in. All right, I'll have to remove myself to log in. Hang on a second. Oh, that was just a reminder. Anyway, I'll log in a minute. Okay, so committee of safety. Okay, read through this, click through, and find and start a committee of safety. And we have all the information you need. It's right under these tabs right here. And the information on education is right under here. Other things is news and things, other things that are applicable to what we're doing here as far as, you know, our directory and making contacts with individuals and having tech support and so on and so forth. We also put up our cases and numerous other things. But anyway, I do believe, you know, we've been waiting for critical mass for a long time. And I always felt that maybe we're not ready for it, but I kind of think, oh, we're coming up to it maybe soon. We've watched ourselves grow. We're up to a little over 11,000 members now. Not that 11,000 members are active, but the more members, the more active people we do get. So, but in any event, critical mass is the key. That's what we need to be successful. We have to go professional. We cannot continue to go where we are. We have to be able to pay people and put people to work for 40 hours and expect that they produce, okay, 40 hours a week. And so we have to pay people. And we're not going to be able to do that unless we hit critical mass and we get enough people giving us the $5 a month to accumulate enough money and a large enough income in order to be able to, you know, pay people to do the work that needs to be done, okay. Or maybe we'll, some people with deep pockets might realize what we're doing and throw us a rather large check, okay, which then we can go forward with it too. But anyway, SG, he really, a lot of people that listen to him, a lot of them are people who have their own podcasts. We see all the people doing the interviews and stuff, and they have members, and they're all looking for something to do. And I think what we're going to be getting together with SG and we get into our discussions, you know, he's really going to push the education to these people and it'll drive through. And I do think this will create our critical mass. We'll find out in the next month or so. Like I said, this is going to be a series, at least two. I think they're going to be hour long, maybe three, possibly four. But we'll see where we go. We have a lot to say. We have a lot to share. We have a lot to teach. So, and people have a lot that they need to learn. So, anyway, I guess that's it. So, Gerard, you got anything before we go? And maybe you can take the mic at about 10, around 10 o'clock.
I wanted to give a more timely update on the rolling cases. I just looked up here on their site. And they actually were shot down three times. They sent a third petition asking to hear the Rollins case. The second petition was denied. It didn't get enough votes from the justices for Rollins' petition for a hearing to be granted. And then the third petition, the brothers received a letter from SCOTUS saying this case is considered closed in this court and no further consideration by this court is possible. That was March 17 of 2023. So the same date, they file a lawsuit against Sonia.
That's interesting the way they said that. That it, no consideration for this case at this point is possible.
No further. This case is considered closed in this court, and no further consideration by this court is possible.
Possible. Okay.
That's so then
something. Okay.
They file. Yes, that's right. It's not good.
No. I don't think that it's not good. I think it's too premature. There's other things. Looking, I don't want to discourage people, And sometimes I tell people, well, maybe don't waste your time there because that's being handled. Look, this problem with the election is being handled. We, the people, don't need to really get involved with it because this is being handled and it's going to be dealt with. And it's going to be dealt with by the military and on the end game anyway, no matter how you go about it. This was subversion against the United States of America by enemies both foreign and domestic. So, but go ahead.
So anyway, on the 17th, the same day that the court returned the petition and denied it with no further consideration, the brothers filed a suit against Sonia, Elena, and Kenji. Raylan, with the help of his brother, files a lawsuit in the Second District Court in Ogden, Utah. That was on April 12th. The case was moved to federal court. They got a strategy here, John. Defendant's attorney successfully moves the case from state court to the federal court in Salt Lake City, Utah. And April 19th, the defendants obey a court order, that is the Congress and the Senate, who are claiming that they don't have to answer anything because they have sovereign immunity. And it absolutely is not true.
I'm tired of this sovereign immunity BS.
Right, this sovereign immunity crap. On April 19th, it says, defendants obey court order. Defendants allow the court from Roland's judge, follow the court order from Roland's judge, and files a motion asking the federal judge to dismiss the case, knowing if the judge refuses to dismiss the case that they would have the opportunity to appeal it to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, where if they lose, they could appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court again. Roland files an opposition on May 15th. This is the last entry of 2023. The brothers file an opposition to the defendant's motion to dismiss the case, showing how defendants, through their motion, are attempting to rewrite the Constitution. And that's what they always do. That's what these attorneys do. And everything, they ignore the law, and they ask the judge to dismiss the case because it doesn't have any basis. They got some stupid rule, or they're sovereignly immune, or some other such thing. But you know, this crap rolls downhill. You know. So anyway, that's where we are. That was the last entry. This is on the Roland Brunson site, which is https://RaylanBrunson.com. All lowercase, all together. RaylanBrunson.com. And anytime there's an update, they'll throw it in there. So apparently they haven't updated it since May of 23. I don't know why. That's all I know. Okay?
Okay. All right. Well, we'll take our first caller here now. Let's see. Usulu, how you doing? You got the mic. Good to see you. Usulu, you got the mic.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm sorry to bother you, but I misplaced the link that Jan sent me for the, you know, for your common law trust. Can you tell me how to get there again, please?
All right. Let me move off of my page here. Let me sign in because I'm not signed in right now. So every once in a while you come in and for some reason you're not signed in. I don't know. But I did get a reminder of that. Okay, I'm back in now.
I think you say I need to go under the education.
Yep, under the education tab, and I believe it's under law, which we're going to find in a minute.
Under law? Okay, law. Okay.
So if you come under Education tab, you come down to Law, and then you come over to Court Forms and Process, and you come down on that, you will find it in here. Let's see, for right here, Common Law Trust, right there.
You say after the law plus the plot process?
Yeah, come down, Education starts here, come down to Law, highlight Law. Then you come over, there's about six or seven tabs. You come down to Court Forms and Process. Now, if you're not signed in, you won't see this, okay? And I think this is one of the only pages, other than a few of the courses, This is the only page that requires you to be a premium member, I think.
I am, yes.
Yeah, premium member is given $5 a month or more, so it's not something out of reach of people. So.
Okay, and I understand. Is that going to tell me, will that tell me how to put our business onto the trust or what?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Will that show me how to put our business in the, under the trust?
Yes, enough information, yes, to be able to do, a trust, and there's different kinds of common law trust, and, have to go through all of this stuff to get it. We may have more information on this. We do have the same information, but I think we have more and updated information in our court access and the common law course. So if you go into, I think you're in that too, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I haven't finished that yet, but yes.
Yeah, you should be able to find stuff in here. Let's see. Common law, here, table of contents. Okay, and let's do a control fine on trust. I know we have the, that's the Antitrust Act. Let's see.
Okay.
That's not what we want to be looking for, though. Let's see, come down. It's not jumping up. I'm pretty sure we did cover trust. Maybe we didn't. Maybe we didn't cover it in the course. I don't remember. I'll go through this to see if we did, and if you want to catch up with me next Monday, by then I'll see. But not jumping up, so I don't know. But definitely we do have a lot of information on the trust way.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm sorry to to bother you about that.
You're not bothering us. And by your questions, other people have those questions too, so it's more than one person that's getting the answer.
So. We appreciate all you, and thank you for your relentless, to educate us. I learned a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, John.
Okay. Okay, we're going to take our next caller. Thank you, Sulu. Daniel, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
Go right ahead. We can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got, I think I got some resolution today, but I'm looking at a deprivation of rights case. And did we cover the deprivation of rights or any of that subject matter in the common law course?
Defamation of rights. I don't remember exactly. How would you... give me a little more information on what you're thinking when you say defamation of rights.
And thank you for taking that question. I actually was a little off guard. So I've done a number of things. I've become a state citizen and gone through that process, taken your course, put vehicles and everything into different trusts, and was pulled over by somebody on the weekend. They didn't know anything about it. Impounded the vehicle, and so now today was a holiday, so tomorrow I have to go pick up the vehicle, and I'm pretty sure that I've done or checked all the boxes to live as privately as possible.
They don't care about that, you know that, right? They're trying to kill him.
I understand that, and the reason the area that I live in is not very amiable to the Constitution, I don't think, but I don't care. So I would like to bite off on this and go after the individual. I'm sorry, I didn't really...
Is this a town court, a village court, city court? What kind of court?
Well, I live in a county, and the seat of the county is about 150 miles away.
Yeah, but I mean, you're in a court because they seized your car or something for some reason?
They impounded it for no insurance, they say.
Okay, for no insurance, okay.
And I'm self-insured.
Okay.
So they don't recognize any of that.
Well, they should recognize that if you do have the collateral behind yourself, and you need quite a bit of collateral.
Oh, yeah.
cheaper really to go with the insurance, but you could use your collateral, but that's a lot of loss if you have a situation. You know,
the problem, John, I'm sorry to cut you off. The problem I ran into is when I contacted insurance companies, they won't insure a vehicle in a trust. So that's an out, and I can self-insure with whatever kind of a promissory note thing, but my question is, I guess, if the town judge is in, you know, the cabal of the local cabal.
Well, they're ignorant. The next step? They do what they're told. They're ignorant.
Yes, sir.
And so, again, what court are you going into?
It would be a just a county court.
If they took your vehicle, you'd want to go into the state court, and because that's the Supreme Court. And you can go in there because they took it without due process.
And which I understand.
I approached it that way, but I've also never. Well, I did have my car pounded once when I was very, very young, but I got it out, of course. But you know,
I understand
the bottom line is you're taking your vehicle without due process.
Which I mentioned and asked the guy to keep the recording and all.
Yeah,
I mentioned due process.
They would think that's crazy, though. But go ahead.
Yes. Which I and the, we're not dealing with rocket surgeons out here. I understand that. So there's no way of giving a class on the side of the road. I understand that. I had to take the hit for the choices that I've made to live.
Absolutely.
But the course that I went through that you taught, once the local judge has denied me of rights, then I kick it up to a district court, I think I heard you say. Basically, what verbiage or what has to happen with the lower judge so that I have the grounds to kick it up to a district or superior court than that? It's that part that I didn't remember, sir.
It's denial of your due process.
Okay.
That is the key right there, denial of due process. But you see, when you go into the court, first of all, you need to look up because in when you get a, you'll get some kind of a citation ticket, whatever they give you when they seize you.
Yeah, I got three.
In there, there'll be a code number. You look that code number, and you'll probably find out that as far as the insurance is concerned, it's a commercial code. Well, and I would go to the judge and say, Judge, you surely do have subject matter jurisdiction under the commercial code, blah blah blah. That's been being applied to me, but you do not have personam jurisdiction because it doesn't apply to me. I'm not operating in a commercial activity. Equity is all for people who are involved with commercial activity, and they have to follow certain regulations and rules that the government has laid out for whatever the commercial activity might be. And also equity is also for people who work for agencies, and they're for agents, and they have to work under certain regulations, statutes, codes, and so on. And none of this applies to me. Now, they're going to deny you due process, then you kick it up to the next court higher, which would be the state court if you're in a county court. And then from there, the state court, which they will deny you your due process. They will agree with the lower court, there's no doubt in my mind, and you have to kick it up into the federal court for a constitutional situation only. In other words, you can't bring up anything but the Constitution. But once you bring the Constitution up, your whistleblower clause on the federal level should be for them to cease and desist. And that's it. Your court case is over. Now, whether that federal court is going to throw you out on Rule 12 or not, what I read tonight, you did hear me read that paper.
I did, yes, sir.
For that, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, actually, I should post this up somewhere.
I was trying to figure out how to screenshot it.
Yeah, no, I'll post this somewhere. As a matter of fact, let me think about this. I might stick it into the course, too, as a, you know, sort of an addendum.
Hey, Daniel?
Yes, sir.
You might want to Google or DuckDuckGo the name Brad Barnhill, Barnhill. He's a guy I used to follow years ago. Him and his wife would drive around with their own plates, and they became state nationals, and they used the UCC and all this other stuff. And they spend tons and tons of time in different jails together. And they win their cases when they bring them up to federal court, and that's how they support themselves. But it's like they're in every week there's these nightmare stories about, oh, Ellen got picked up and she's in jail, and they get abused a lot. Mm-hmm. But they're obviously making money because they keep doing it. And once they get up to the federal, I don't know what exactly his strategy is, if they actually go to court or they file against their insurance, but they always end up with a settlement mm-hmm. to their favor. They spend a lot of time in court filing papers. You may want to look into see what some of his tactics are as far as suing the officers and the lower courts for violating his rights, because that's how he's making his money. I don't even know that they end up going to a trial. I think the judge usually probably gets a hold of the state and says, or in their town, and says, you better get rid of this because you're going to lose. And so they settle out of court.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
say this quickly and then you can go on, but I appreciate it. I have been back in September, same view, my brother passed away last year, and he let me basically a bait car, which is a BMW M3 convertible. I never saw myself in this kind of car, but now I have it, so why not? I'll put it in their face, why not? I don't have anything hanging over. So the back says, travel trust with my two family crests on either side, so it's my last name and then travel trust. It says foreign national, it says the UCC 1308, and then United States of America. I have been pulled over last September. There was a sergeant and a young guy, and they let me go for being so cooperative. Okay. So the guy that I got the information from on how to do this process, I emailed him. I said, yeah, okay, fine. But what they did say at the time was, there's another guy, or there are other people in the area who won't fall for this. That's the guy, I think, that pulled me over on Saturday. I mean, maybe he's connected with the judge. Maybe he's, I don't know. But this guy didn't care, and he wasn't smart enough to take any new information in. I was actually very afraid at the point. He was way too jumpy. So I don't know, maybe these guys, this area is trying to get rid of this guy. I don't know. But I feel in my bones that I got to fight this thing.
Well, you know, Michael Bagnarek used to run around with his own plates. He's dead now, God rest his soul.
Mm-hmm. When did he pass? I didn't know that.
I don't know. He died. He had a heart attack and died. I don't know. Probably a couple of years ago now.
Well, I remember a few years back, he had a serious heart attack. They didn't expect him to make it, and it was really, really bad. But then he survived it, and he was back out talking again.
Yeah, I think he all of a sudden he up and died.
Yeah.
But he would win his cases because he knew what he was doing, you know. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, wherever in his state, in his county, in his town, and probably for about 100 miles around them, all the police sent out messages to leave him alone because he was costing them money and time and, you know, aggravation.
Yeah, I've heard of him before, yes, sir.
Right. So, I mean, that's nice, you know, if you only want to drive around your county, you know.
I've sent affidavits to the sheriffs of my county and the next two. To the governors, sent the same affidavit thing, sent it to the DOT of my state, basically the same, I'm doing this, I'm just letting you know, so if I come up, you know, I've let you all know that I'm doing this. I think I'm in the right, but I'm happy to hear that I'm doing wrong, and I'll correct it, but not by some overweight person who is not in the right job. I don't have the confidence tonight, but by the time this goes down, God's on my side.
Well, you should know that they do school these county judges and these state judges to look out for people like you, and they call you
call me a sovereign citizen or other stupid ideas.
Right, and they give them strategies to stymie you. So.
But that's the point where I kick it up to, I'll let you go after this, but thank you. that's the point that I kick it up to the higher court. How do I just keep out of contempt? Do I pay the fine and then file a writ or whatever?
Well, I think if you don't want to end up in jail, you end up paying the fine, and then you have to sue them for it.
Okay, fair enough.
You know what I mean? Once you pay the fine, it's done. It's the scales of justice as far as they're concerned. And look, in this country, it's all about money, and you get all the justice you can afford. So,
fair enough. But once I'll end it at that. But once that is done and that's paid, then you go to the higher court. If it goes that poorly.
Yeah, and a lot of times it stops there because they get a hold of the lower court and they say, make this go away.
Fair enough.
And usually they've called in their insurance, their bond people by then, and the bond company's going to pay it rather than fight it. You know what I mean? So hopefully that's where you end up.
Okie doke. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it. Out here.
Okay.
Okay, take the next caller, Gerard. I'll be with you both.
Let's see. Go ahead. Next call. Didn't work. Oh, there it goes. Marianne, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me? Because I have you.
Boy, I can hardly hear you. Hang on.
Yeah, she's coming in really low. Try to get close to the mic.
Yeah, like you sound like you're 200 miles down the road.
I've always wanted. I keep forgetting to go back into my settings and see if I can increase the volume of microphone. I wonder if that's a thing.
Yeah, you should do that if you can. But are you closer to the mic? Can you get closer or no?
Yeah, I'm getting. Well, I think I'm as close as I can get. How's that?
It's touching her tonsils.
I can hear her enough to go forward if you want. But yeah,
I can hear her if I turn it up, but then I have to turn it down when she talks or when I talk, it just blasts otherwise.
Okay, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I wanted to ask, John, are you going to post that Neil Gorsuch?
Yeah, I just posted it right now. You can find it under Education Starts here. Come down to Law, highlight Law. If you're watching the desktop here, you come over and you get to court forms and process. That's where I'm at on this page right here. When you come down, I just put it up here right on the top. Judicial notice is a form of evidence, PDF form. And this is Justice Gorsuch's, judicial notice. And all of this is his words. This is all him, okay? So this entire thing is what he wrote.
When was this? When did he put this out, John?
I'm not sure. I don't remember the date. It was just recent, and you could look it up. It's Man versus Man.
Okay, so it's been recent. It's not like years and years ago.
No, not at all. This is extremely powerful. I mean, this just brings every case we've ever had that they've thrown out back in, every single case, because it requires them now to go through the process through a court of record. I'm going to find it very interesting. Matter of fact, I'm going to combine my federal cases and bring in all of the U.S. attorneys, all of the judges to the same thing.
How many times in your cases have you said take judicial notice?
Every one of them.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But it doesn't matter. This is pretty recent, and this is an easy kick up to the United States Supreme Court because it's so recent.
And they're not going to go back and say, oh, Mr. Zarash, we didn't take judicial notice. We're going to do it now. You're going to have to go push it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, look at every case. Are you kidding me? Every case is every case.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I got to believe he understands that. So every case that the federal courts have heard, it can be reopened. Anything against the people, I mean, look at. Remember, equity is not law. Equity is exercising the codes and regulations of government agencies and commercial activities and requiring them to be obedient. And there's certain, I guess, disciplines that they could make. I don't think they can find them, but they can make certain disciplines. Whatever that might be. I mean, in commercial activities, you can lose your license or your whatever or something for a period of time, or however they can, you know, put some kind of a justice against you and a penalty. But an equity court cannot incarcerate and it can't fine. They don't have that power, yet they've been doing it in courts of law. They've taken law and put and made them equity courts and fined and incarcerate all the people, every single person that is put in jail by any town, village, and city, most cities anyway. Those people need to be set free because it was all without due process. Nobody there had due process. And it didn't matter whether they gave them a jury or not. Usually they give them a jury of six in those courts, maybe even eight. But that doesn't matter anyway because they're not courts of record anyway. They have to be recognized as a court of record. Therefore, then they have to have a jury, a grand jury, to indict if it's criminal. And then they have a real trial jury come in that is fully informed. And none of that has taken place. Goodness, that hasn't been taking place as even our state courts, which do have the authority to do these things, but they don't do it right because they take control. And they've just kicked the people aside and taken total control, and the people have no clue on what's happened. We're at that point. And that's where ignorance is. That's where we're at right now. Ignorance is going to kill us. It already has. It almost has, anyway. And if we think we're going to get our liberties back and get everything back without knowledge, and if you think you're going to create grand juries that are not knowledgeable and don't understand the law, don't understand the common law, and they're out there for anger, okay, they're not there for justice, they're angry. I mean, I can relate to that too, of course, because I'm angry, but I can set myself aside for justice, especially on an individual level if I was called as a jurist. I could do that. But the bottom line is that there is no justice. There is no courts of law. There hasn't been one a court of law since 1938, I presume. At least that's when it came into effect to lose our courts of law. And I think they were already on their way. They just wanted to, you know, they don't just come out and do this to make the change overnight. They make the change little by little. It's like that idea with the frog in the water, and you boil the water and they're not going to jump out and they boil, you know. But in any event, that's kind of what it is. So this has been going on long before 1938. The 1934 Rules Enabling Act that took effect in 34 actually came into effect in 38 because that's when they applied their rules. And that changed everything. That changed everything in our courts. But it already had been already started. And we know that it's been going back. It's already started back in the mid-1800s, 1850. Okay, what's that paper, Gerard? on the grand jury, trial by jury, Lysander. Okay, that he already was complaining about the problem that there really is no serious or lawful grand jury being seated, that they're all stacked already. They've been working on this for a long time, and I'll tell you how far back it goes. It goes all the way back to 1750. That's when it started. And that brings us back into the colonies. That's when they started to really destroy our judicial system by sending bar attorneys from England here into the colonies and to destroy our courts of justice and bring us under civil law. And it took them a long time to do it officially, but they've been working on it and doing it for a long, long time. But I would like to, before we move on or continue the conversation here, there was something here I just brought up and was looking for, and I know Trump is talking about this, the fact that he thinks he's got immunity, okay? He doesn't have immunity, and I think he knows that. He wants the judges to say it, okay? That's why he's doing this, okay? But let's look at it. It's very simple, and this is our Constitution. This is, let's see what article this is. Article 1, Section 3. And that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, clause 6 and 7. And it says here, the Senate shall have the sole power to try all impeachments when sitting for the purpose. Now, an impeachment really is a grand jury type thing. It's an indictment. An impeachment is an indictment. It doesn't mean that they're guilty of anything yet. It's just an indictment. Okay, now they have to go to trial, and the trial is done by the Senate. But anyway, the Senate shall have all power to try all impeachments. Okay, so that's the Senate's power, but it's the Congress that does the impeachment. Then, when a sitting for the purpose, they shall be on oath or affirmation. When the President of the United States is tried, the Chief Justice shall preside, and no person shall be convicted without the concurrence of two-thirds of the members present. Now here's the key, the next clause. Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to the removal from office and disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. But the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable and subject to indictment, trial, judgment, and punishment according to the law. Nobody is above the law. Judges are not above the law. The president is not above the law. No man on this soil here in the United States is above the law. That's the law. Okay? Now, I do know what Trump is doing, though, because he's trying to get the United States Supreme Court to make the point and say, no, you don't have total immunity. You can be held liable, and you can be tried. But you see, Trump isn't guilty of anything, but he'd like to see that happen because that's part of the strategy, because then they're not going to be able to pull this on the other side, and that's the key. Nor will they be able to pull this in the future, and that's the key. But anyway, where are we? Still with... are we with you, Marianne, right now?
Oh, you're still with me, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did find that the item, because it has me super excited because...
Oh, yeah. It's got me. I've been... Wow.
It calls out lawyers, because I've been yes. catching... When I was living in Connecticut and I was totally abused by... I was abused by the HOA, but it was really the attorneys... who did the bait and switch. Oh, man.
They're all liable. They're all liable. We need to take their millions away from them. That's what we need to do.
We need to take what away from them?
Their millions, their money, because that's what they're all about. They're all about money. You want to get these guys, you take their money. That's punishment.
Yeah, they sit there with their diamond rings and stuff.
So
that's what I really want to do was, yes, I want to get my money back from the HOA, but ultimately I would love to work with them to go after the attorneys. Like they have no idea that I'm actually a friend, not a foe, but the attorneys set me up as the enemy. So it's so awful what they did. So I read this, oh my God, because I had money taken from me, and you know, basically under threat of foreclosure. And they had no right for foreclosure, but the way that I mean, 5 years ago, what was going on with the courts? They were just rubber stamping any foreclosure that came through. I mean, there was no argument.
Well, I'm going to go take my cases. Like I said, I don't remember how many I got, but I got quite a few on my personal level in the federal courts, all being thrown out under, you know, the Rule 12, all denying me due process. I told them they were denying me due process. They still didn't care. But I'm going to bring together all those cases. Like I said, I'm doing one lawsuit. I'm going to go after all the judges. I'm going to go after all of the U.S. attorneys, okay? And when I do that, I will post my case up online so that you know, other people can see how I wrote mine. But it's more than that. Even National Liberty Alliance, which is going to take a little while longer, but because we have hundreds of cases now, and I'd like to do the same thing with that on behalf of the people that have lost their homes and so on and so forth, which they're all going to get all their homes back or at least get compensated if getting their home back is impossible for one reason or another. They will be compensated on the other side of devolution because we're all the injuries from casualties of war, every one of us. Mm-hmm. And we have to be restored. We have to be liberated and restored. But really, it's we the people have to liberate ourselves. And you liberate yourselves through education. And so when the military makes its move, because there's no other way to take this nation back, that you can see there's just no way. They got the guns. They got control of everything. Okay, there are too many morons working for the government that will execute whatever, you know, whatever they're told to do. And... But the people need to take power on the grassroots level, and that's what we teach, of course, and that's the only way you're going to get everything back. But we will get that back. It's on the other side of devolution. And that's going to come not long after the military makes a move, whether that be before Trump is elected and reinstated as president, which I believe he still is anyway. At least he's the commander in chief at this point in time. And if anything, Biden is president of the USA Incorporated, and definitely not the USA of the United States of America. So anyway, time. Go ahead. Someone wanted to speak.
Yeah, this is Terry. I read this. I went to the original source, which is the in the mid-December they argued it, and this was the comments from the bench that John Gorsuch has said. I'm sure that he'll include it in the opinion, but I want to.
It doesn't matter whether he includes it in the opinion or within the court case itself. It already is stated in the court case. But the bottom line, it's a judicial notice that he's putting forward. He says, please take further notice that, okay?
Good.
So it's a judicial notice.
What I'm saying is that I don't get as much juice out of this as I thought I did at first.
Mm-hmm. For two reasons.
One, he's claiming common law. But his idea of common law does not match ours. He thinks that the courts currently use common law. And the fact that he tells them they have to have a grand jury if they're going to take anything, that's straight out of the Rules Enabling Act. The Rules Enabling Act, they said you got to do at least one thing, and that is you have to guarantee the right of trial by jury, but from the Seventh Amendment. That was the only stipulation that it had, was that specific one. So he's actually just quoting what is seen as the normal situation.
I disagree.
Now, I think it's great.
No, but I disagree with
you. He said this. I think it's great that he said it, but I don't think it's going to give us as much as we're really hoping so.
Well, absolutely it does. I disagree with your conclusion. He mentions the fact when he relates to this is a court of record. A court of record is one that proceeds according to the common law. If you go and read, let me see if I still have this open. Let's see. If you go and read in the Constitution, okay, and, well, actually, we need the Bill of Rights in the Constitution. Let me open that up. Hang on a second.
But that's why they give us so much trouble opening a court of record, because it ties their hands.
Yeah, it does. So, well, see, his idea of common law is
No, it's not. You're wrong. I'll tell you why you're wrong. You're absolutely right, because that's what they teach judges and lawyers. But
right.
These guys have a higher education. They understand the common law. There's lots of court cases that talk about the common law. He used the term court of record, which identifies with the common law. And he definitely referred to the Seventh Amendment. If he didn't call the Seventh Amendment out, he definitely referred to it. Okay, but
he has to call the Seventh Amendment out because it's stipulated.
But let's listen to the Seventh Amendment. But let's listen to the Seventh Amendment. Let me read it. Okay. It says here in Amendment number 7, in suits of common law, where the value of controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. Now, here's the key coming up. And no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. Now, their rules are the rules of civil procedure. Our rules are the rules of common law, which is maxims. And he refers to that. Let me read some of the things. Look at. He goes, all past cases that bypass the common law are unlawful. Okay? Therefore, it is my immediate demand, wish, and order that you restore. Listen to what he's talking about here. That you restore all that has been unlawfully taken without constitutionally mandated due process. Now, due process of law, of course, we go back to the Fourth Amendment. Let me go over here. The right of the people to be secured in, the Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless under presentment or an indictment by a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in the time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy for life, liberty, nor shall be compelled in a criminal case in the witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall property be taken without public use, blah, blah, blah. Okay, the other thing is warrants issued on the Fourth Amendment. The right of the people to be secured in the persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath, affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. Now, they know the Constitution, and they also know that the Constitution without the common law cannot be understood. They know that. Okay. Now they've got the guns to the head. They've had it for a long time. Scalia knows it. Okay. Scorchus knows it. Thomas knows it, and numerous others know it. They know it. Okay. But there's not much they can do, because the system is against them. There's a gun to their head. They don't. You know. They can't go right or left. And they've been stuck under that situation for a long time. But clearly, the decisions that they've been making in the past year and a half has proven to us that they do understand this. They've overturned Roe versus Wade. They stuck up for the Second Amendment. Here the guy is talking about a court of record. Let me see where he quotes that court of record in here. Here it is. Listen to this. Please take notice that. This is the beginning of this notice. As agency workers, state judges, presiding judges, state legislators, etc., that you are bound by the Constitution that you have all sworn and uphold. And from this time forward, please be advised that taking children, cars, houses, weapons, rights, property, etc., without a trial by jury, in a court of record. Now, a court of record is one that proceeds according to the common law. That's what a court of record is. So, no, he understands what he's talking about. He is saying what he's saying. And they are bringing the law back. We have enough justices on the court to do it, and the ones that deserve to be arrested will be arrested. I think some of the Supreme Court justices must be arrested for subversion, but they'll figure that out. But generally speaking, they understand it. And I'll tell you what, I do believe, and because of some things that judges have said to me over the years over in federal courts, they've corrected me on certain things. They clearly understand the difference between common law and civil law. They know what they're doing. The state judges, they may be a bunch of idiots and morons. I don't know. I don't see, I don't know about them. Okay, definitely you got the county, I don't know about the county ones. Usually they're connected with the state courts anyway. But if you're looking at a town court, village court, or a city court outside of the large cities like New York City, if you're looking at those other lower courts, okay, they haven't even got a clue on what equity is. They don't know what law is. They don't know nothing. They're not even judges. They didn't even go to law school, okay? So in most cases, anyway, they go to a school, a judge's school, for 1 or 2 weeks, I think it is. What was it, 2 weeks, Gerard, a judge's school? I think it's 2 weeks. And so they send them to a judge's school, and now they put a prosecutor in there who is a lawyer, who can advise the judge, and who's really making the decisions? Well, the lawyer's going to tell the judge what the law is, and the judge is going to do what he thinks the law is, or she thinks the law is, and that's that. That's the problem. But you know what? If the people knew this, they wouldn't be able to get away with this. We need to educate our children. We need to get proper education in our school. But it starts with an education of us. We, the people, at the grassroots level, getting involved and pushing it in the schools and requiring them to teach what the difference of these two courts are, equity and law, and what the common law is. And what common law is just common sense, by the way. It's nothing more difficult than that. Okay, there is no written law in common law. It's the application of that which is just and that is obvious, that is right. That's what it is. It's nothing more difficult than that. Okay, so Seventh Amendment requires it that it has to be a court of record, and he made it right here. He said it, a trial by jury in a court of record. He understood.
I think you're
Follow
right.
The course of common law. Okay.
I think you're right. Except that I think it's going to be a long slug process. It's going to be long and slow to bring the Constitution back to the forefront. because the Rules Enabling Act says they shall take effect 6 months after their promulgation. They're talking about the rules. And thereafter, all laws in conflict therewith shall be of no further force or effect.
Okay.
So they still see that the rules of common civil procedure and the rules of criminal procedure are the only laws they have to follow, and they have to follow the Seventh Amendment to a right to trial by jury, and that's all they think they have to do. And so it's an education thing of all the judges and the people that they mention in there, and I think it's going to be slow, and it's going to come to a head, hopefully soon, and I hope it works out just like you said, John. Thank you.
Well, you're true in one sense, in the sense that if you were to battle us through the courts right now, it could take a year to get it through the system and finally up to the United States Supreme Court, which we don't even know if they'd hear it. And if you've got a good case, if it's written well, and you can position it right, and you can get past the clerks, you can get it to the United States Supreme Court, you could win. But that is an uphill battle, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I want to see the first attorney bite the dust.
Not from the perspective we're taking it from. We got a whole new way to go. We are literally suing the federal judiciary. Our case is going directly to the United States Supreme Court. We're not coming up the line because it's irrelevant to do so. We're suing them. How can they hear their own cases? They can't. And you know what? The Supreme Court will realize that they themselves can't hear the case per se, because they're part of the case, because they're part of the federal judiciary, and they've been guilty of not correcting these lower courts for 50 years and more, okay? And so they're kind of stuck in a situation, but we don't need them, because you see, a true common law court is by the people. The people administrate the juries. They bring them in. They orientate them, not the state. Okay. And when a judge comes into a court where there's going to be a trial on a criminal case or any kind of a common law court, well, they come in and they put on they take off their judge cap. Okay. And they're now just like a traffic cop. Okay. So they're no longer a judge in the court. They're just keeping things moving along. All right, and making sure everybody gets each side gets their say and things happen in orderly fashion. But who decides what? It's the people that decide. They decide the law. They decide the facts. They decide the penalty. They decide what the restitution is going to be, or whether a jail sentence is appropriate. In most cases, it's not. Even though it may be a criminal case, in most cases, it's not necessary to put people in jail. There's numerous things that could be done. Restitution is the key. And right now, in our courts of civil law courts, restitution never takes place in a criminal court.
And this is a good first step to set it right.
Right.
I hope they follow through. Thank you.
We have the paperwork written and ready to go. We're just waiting for devolution to get to the certain point that we then can feel free and know that we're going to be heard. And that, we don't know when it's going to happen, but there's no doubt in my mind, absolutely, it's going to happen sometime this year.
I think it's going to happen quicker than you think it is, because the military is going to get involved, and all these judges know that their neck is on the line, that they're going to be pulled out for treason. And that line that you read from the Judiciary Act, that after 6 months all laws are null and void, you can't do that with the Constitution. You see what the Brenson says? They said, defendant's motion to dismiss case showing how defendants, through their motion, are attempting to rewrite the Constitution. Well, guess what? That's what that Judiciary Act is trying to do, rewrite the Constitution. You can't make a law that takes away our liberties and gives us less and violates a constitutional right.
Yeah, they traded our rights in for rules.
But it doesn't, I don't give a crap. It doesn't matter at all. It makes no difference what they call it. The fact is you can't, in order to change the Constitution, you have to go through the process.
And we're going to have to redo 80 years, and it's going to be a tough slug.
80 years of what? It was all fraud. You just let them go.
Okay.
Justice in the courts is what Terry's talking about, 80 years. And the thing is a lot of court cases going back 80 years aren't going to come up anyway because most of the people are dead, gone, and buried. But the thing is you know, just about everybody in prison, when they get wind of this, they're going to want a new case. They want a new. They're going to want to be retried again. And you know what? We have to give it to them because that's justice. That's a huge amount of work that's going to have to take place. Okay. But, and I think a lot of those cases could be skimmed through pretty quickly to see the problems without having to go back into these people be released and compensated for their incarceration, their unjust incarceration. Now, some people do belong in jail. Some people are violent. Some people never belonged in jail, but maybe they needed to pay restitution. Therein is the problem, because common law requires restitution. It doesn't require jail time. It requires restitution. And so restitution is the key to common law. Now, again, someone that's seriously violent, a dangerous individual, I'm sure the jury is going to see that and say, hey, this guy's got to go to jail. Well, we got to do so. But then you have to send him to jail, not for him to become a worse animal than what that person already is. We have to restore that person. We can't do the things that we're doing. You can't be putting people into solitary confinement all too often for political purposes, okay? So a lot of things have to change. But look at, nothing is ever going to change unless the people change. And if the people don't step up and they don't change, they don't get educated, they don't take the authority and take their duty that they deserve. You know, everybody runs away from sitting on a jury in a jury trial or something like that, or even called for the grand jury. Shame on us for doing that. I speak to myself first. Shame on us. Okay? No, we have to take responsibility. We have to get active in our community. We have to find time to invest in who we are as a people, to restore America, to get our republic back, to bring our children up in the fear and nurture of the Lord, an understanding of what their duty is, that they need to serve their country too, that they need to step up and become active in their community on a county level and join a committee of safety. That some of those people, they have to respond when they're called to be a jury member, whether it be a trial jury or a grand jury. They have to, we have to do this. And if we don't do us, woe is us.
Yeah, but just to bring awareness to, when he talks about trial by jury, John, there also needs to be a confrontation at some point or discussion or exposure or whatever you call it about this magic wheel that they're using. It's AI.
Well, that's why we take it. That's why the people have to take it. That's why we're building administrators in every county, 5 administrators for that purpose. They're the ones that go out and pull the jury in. They're the ones that make sure it's not a choice or a stacked jury or a certain mindset of individuals or whatever the case may be. No, that's your job. That's my job. That's what we have to do. When you go back into history and look at common law, judges do not sit in common law court. A magistrate might, okay, and there are different kinds of magistrates, a coroner might, and even the sheriff, they might too. And that's how common law is. No political animals are allowed there, okay? That's not part of the system. And the people have to make the decision as far as being the grand jury. They have to be orientated properly, to be fully informed, to knowledgeable. And I'll tell you what, our handbooks for the grand jury and our handbook for the trial jury fully informs them. If they were to read that book, And it's easy to understand. It's a people book. It's not a law book per se as we think of law. No, this is a people book. This is a common law book. You read through that, you are fully informed. You understand your powers, your authorities, and you're the bottom line. And that you not only get to decide the law, the facts, you get to decide the law, and you get to decide the punishment. You get to look at it with the eye of restitution. That's the requirement. At the end of the day, you have to consider mercy. If it's something that has to be applied, the people have to decide. But the people decided all. You know, these bar attorney judges and these bar attorneys, these U.S. attorneys, they have no part in this. None whatsoever. Judges are for courts of equity. That's what judges are. They're not for courts of law. But we lost all that because of our ignorance.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I think this statement by Gorsuch here is worth taking and quoting, even in equity cases like the case I'm fighting, and they're asking the judge to dismiss it, and they haven't answered anything, and they haven't given any evidence. I think that in an answer, you put this into the judge. Putting the judge on notice that they can't uphold this business where they're going to take something without a trial.
Well, just think of what's going to happen with all these agencies that try to take your children without due process.
Exactly. I would put it in there just to shake them up.
Oh, this will be in every one of my cases.
I'm gonna say, you know, the judge reads that. The judge is gonna say, "The heck with that attorney. I'm not gonna rule for this house of attorneys. They're not gonna defend me when they come after me for treason, for allowing them to do this."
Well, they won't be able to rescue them because they'll be there with them.
Yeah, I'm just I'm thinking it's that powerful that if you put it in there, they're gonna.
Yeah, there's a lot of other powerful papers that we can apply, but this is fresh, and this is direct to the point, and there's so many other things we got. I mean, you know, you've been through all our papers, you know.
Yeah. I just think this is good because it's new, and they might have heard about it, and it's going to intimidate them more than some old piece, you know.
Okay. Well
we've also got American jurisprudence, too. All right. Anything else, Mary? We're going to move on to our next
one. I also want to mention that it's just interesting that Neil Gorsuch is coming up so much because not only is he from Colorado, he's also the 10th Circuit oversight, like and which includes Colorado.
Yeah, he hasn't really made a lot of great decisions in the past. He's made them according to the status quo. And I know Robert Schultz, had a case before him, and he was pissed off because the way the decision he made, he said he shouldn't have done that. But I do appreciate the fact to some degree that these judges, you know, they're between a rock and a hard place. But they're coming up, they're stepping up. He's stepping up now. He knows. And we know he knows now.
It's time, yeah. It's time. And as far as what you're saying about devolution, I think it's going to be very slow at first. I mean, keep filing. I mean, they're being recommended that people just file, just start filing.
Well, when there are riots in the streets, or when an atomic bomb gets set off somewhere, probably on the West Coast, I hear, if anything, could be the East Coast too, probably over the ocean, let's hope, okay? But nevertheless, when the war drums stop and the first bullet is fired, that's when the military makes the move. But that's tripwire, I believe. World war, ultimately. And, Trump keeps talking, world war is on its way, world war is on its way. And he's not the only one, okay? There are other good people saying it, too. So we're at that point. That's a tripwire, okay? At that point, devolution takes full play then. We have terrorists in every city, thousands and thousands of terrorists. We have, what did they just recently say? 18 million people are going to be illegals that have come into this country just since this Biden's became president, okay? And by the end of this year, it's an anticipation of 18 million. Now, I heard Congress repeat two other numbers earlier, but they said they weren't clear on it. But this is an actual number now, 18 million people. And a good deal of them are terrorists. They're in our nations. They're in our cities. We're putting them up. We're paying for their food and overhead. We're giving them a couple of $1,000s a month on a card. We give them a cell phone, and they're ready to rock and roll on us. And they're even talking. I've seen some interviews with these people saying, you know, we're such morons. We're here to take America, you know? People need to wake up to this. But when that makes a move, when that moves in the cities, and it'll crawl out a little bit of the cities, I guess, too, but when that moves, and it's war, and then that's when it comes down. There is good news, because we know where they're all at, number one. They also have contacts, and if I got to believe that with our intelligence and stuff, we're already taking control of those contacts, and they're actually in contact with the white hats when they think they're in contact with the black hats. Okay, so there's a lot of other things we just don't know about what's happening going on. But strategy is the game of war. And you can't say that it's ignorant to think and say that, we don't have a strategy for this. We know where they're all at. And they have to be weaponized also. So there's got to be some ammunition depot, some kind of a depot for weapons and ammo. To give to these people, because they certainly didn't bring it in with them. So we got military intelligence out there. They know what's happening. Matter of fact, Q has mentioned on a few occasions they're going to do their best to prevent it from spilling out hardcore into the streets. And so that tells us that they've got a lot of things going on. They know what's going on. And Trump says we're going to deport them all. You know? Well, how are you going to find them? Well, because we already know where they're at. We're giving them money. We're feeding them. We're housing them. We're putting them in. They're taking our schools and shutting our schools down in order to house these people in our cities. We know where they're at. We'll get them.
Yeah, yeah. And also, we have the UN peacekeeping forces in Canada training, and they're mostly Chinese. So mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting.
Absolutely. All right, we got to move on. We got three people in the queue, and it's getting late, so we're going to move to our next caller, Marianne.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Anthony, you got the mic, West Virginia.
Hello, how you doing?
Oh, good, how you doing, Anthony?
I missed our meeting on Thursday. I had a dental appointment right at 3 o'clock. Can you believe that?
Oh, which meeting? Which meeting?
You hear me all right.
The Bible? Was it the Bible?
You hear me all right. Didn't we you have that meeting at 3 o'clock? It was going to be for...
Yes.
Advertising.
Yeah, we put it
Did
off.
Did it ever happen?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay.
Are you there?
We put it off. Get a hold of Jan and we'll reschedule.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I just had a dental appointment. You know, I couldn't make it.
Jan, maybe
let me tell you, John, I've been mentioning our website, NLA, pointing people to it quite religiously almost every day in some of the comments I make as replies and posts on Gab, which Gab is known as a far-right extremist social network site. I think it's more of a free speech. You know, you got to put up with a lot of people's ideas that you don't like. But, you know, I think we get a lot of frank discussions. And this first time I got a positive feedback just tonight. Somebody said, that's an interesting website. So people are looking. People are looking. I've been putting this out for who knows all year last year. It was my first reply that I got. Somebody gave me a comment back. The reply looks interesting. So hopefully, little by little, we're catching on.
Well,
John.
Yeah.
Did you play that tape that SG Non where he was praising our site when he went through it?
No, I decided not to play that.
Okay.
I figured we'll just wait for, you know, we're going to meet with him on Wednesday.
Right.
And it'll be for part one. And then we'll get it up as soon as we can. And he'll get it up as soon as he can. And we'll have 2 to 3 parts, maybe more. I think we're going to have more than 3 parts. So.
I do, too. Well, anyway, his first impression was he was very impressed. And so we can say that.
Well, oh, absolutely. Yeah, if you want to give him highlights... To the people, go right ahead.
Yeah, I mean we talked to him for, you know, the better part of an hour, and while we were talking, he was going through the site, and he said, I have never seen a site ever put together like this well. And then he got, you know, we were talking about doing a 2-hour thing, and by the time we got into the last part of it, he said, 2 hours is not going to do it. We got to do a 3-part series. Right away, he caught on to the enormity of what we have, and it's right up the alley of where he wants to go, because the next step is education, and is doing this, all the stuff that we outline is the next step that the country has to take in order to restore itself, and he understands that. So I think we're going to get very popular when he puts that out, because he has quite a following.
Who is that?
Who is what?
SG Anon.
Yeah, we always, John always puts
Anthony
up his videos.
SG Anon. Are you familiar with him?
Not me, no.
We got all his videos. Wow, look at what John's got on the screen. He's going to show you how to get there. Very interesting fella.
Are you coming in just on a phone, or do you are you able to see my
computer right in front of me? You want me to go to NLA? I'll be there in just a second.
Yeah, if you go to NLA, and you highlight. Let's see. Come under today's issues, I think. Okay.
Yes. You got to go on. He's on Start Meeting. Square is sharing a screen. If you got Start Meeting, but anyway.
I don't have that.
Okay.
I'm running. I'm running Linux. I don't even know if I can run Start Meeting.
You can run it on Linux.
Okay.
Harry, you're on Linux, right?
I'm running Linux.
Yeah. Okay. You go into on the blue bar. You go to today's issues. Highlight today's issues.
And then where?
Then you come down to Q News Anon. And if you click on that, you'll have the latest, I believe. Let's see. Yeah, I think that looks like the latest, right, Terry 67?
I think it is.
Yes, that's the latest that I found.
Is that it?
That's the latest, right?
2024. Okay.
Yeah, and there's also X22 report on the top of that page. You can click on that. And that'll open up to X22, and you can listen to his reports. He's always got great reports. And he does two reports a day, I think. Saturday night or Sunday night is the only night that he doesn't come up with one. So,
anybody else recommended that I do that? I don't know. I think I listened to one or two of them, and I wasn't that drawn into them. I guess I'll have to give it another try.
Oh, definitely, definitely, because there's a lot of stuff you can hear from this guy brings up.
All right.
We got to move on to the next. Are we done? Because we got two.
Right. Go right ahead. Nice chatting with you, John. God bless.
Hey, Anthony. And you get a hold of Jan, and he'll reset something maybe for next week or the week after. But
okay. Well, if something happened, I just need a briefing or something like that. I don't know if you guys actually have the meeting or not.
No, we didn't. We put it off because really,
that's great.
People that may be doing some of the things that you were thinking of, so we'll try to get something organized.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
To you guys later. I'm listening.
Okay. Next question. Next person. Thank you, Anthony. Okay, Ross. Good to see you. Go right ahead, Ross. You got the mic.
Wondering how's the case going on with yours on the SUNY judiciary?
Well, we tried two times or three times. I don't even remember anymore. I think two times, but maybe it was three. We tried to get to the Supreme Court, but we kept getting blocked by a clerk. So we haven't been able to get it through. But I think that's really, that's just destiny saying it's not time for us to go yet. And so we're going to prepare, we're going to spend more time preparing the case. It is pretty much written, ready to go to some degree. I want to review it and maybe add some things to it. And every time I read through a case, I always find that I have to change it here. A phrase here, a word there, a paragraph here, add something there. I'm always constantly. 10 times over, I'm still making changes. So I'll probably make some changes and prepare it, but we'll file it as soon as devolution is in high point.
And devolution is not yet happening?
Well, devolution is in play, but it's not big enough. It's not really to the point where the military makes the move. When that happens, it's... Right at some point after the military makes the move is when we'll make our move into the federal courts.
Okay.
And you see, we win the case in the federal court to bring back courts of justice and require all courts of record, which is all state courts, all courts of record to reopen their doors of justice free of charge, without charge, and hearing the case in a court of law and not in a court of civil law. Once that happens on the federal level, it's a slam dunk to the state level because the federal level will require or can. We can use the federal level to require the state level to be obedient to the law. Now, maybe we can sue all the state courts at some point after we sue the federal courts, sort of like one big case, to bring them back into courts of justice again. But again, I think they'll generally move that way anyway.
okay, that's it.
Anything, that's it, Ross?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We'll take our last caller, unless someone else comes in the queue, but it's 11 o'clock now anyway, so. Our last caller is from Salem, North Carolina. Is that correct? What's your first name from North Carolina? 326.
Herman.
Herman?
Yes, hi.
How you doing? Thank
you.
Question or a comment?
Yes, thank you for all the sharing. Very informative. I'm very new. I just signed up with you guys. This is my first time attending, this call. And thank you for all the information. I just wanted to see if I can get some guidance. I know somebody that has been indicted for smuggling a person. And from the beginning, this was a very messed up case where this person was hired to get some animal, and he was giving a location. When he got to the location, he picked up his people, and he was told drive, and then he was stopped by the police, and you know, he got arrested, and now he's been indicted for smuggling a person. Just want to see how I can help
him. Is he guilty of it, or is he somehow stuck in a situation that he didn't realize, or what's the deal? I mean, if he's guilty of it, then he's guilty of it. You know, he does deserve his day in court, and of course he needs to have a court of record, and he needs to have a jury of his peers, and a decision by the people and not by the state. That's what he needs to get. But again, is he guilty of this? Who did he smuggle, or what was that about?
Well, he was hired to transport some wild animal.
Oh,
but that was all.
He was hired to transfer for a wild animal, and it ended up being an individual. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
And did he tell his? And what did they say? I mean, was he convicted? Did he have a trial?
He's got a trial pending, like next month. This time he only had some court appearance, and he's got a second court date sometime in February.
Does he have any documentation to show proof that he was hired to, did he have a contract that he was hired to transport something from point A to point B, and then point A being the place where he picked up the individual, and then when he found out it was an individual, what took place then? I mean, does he have documentation, proof, or anything to be able to make his case?
He has some documentation as somebody he met online. Then they started sending him, like, what's that?
He didn't make a contract with these people. Didn't have a written contract?
No.
No
written contract.
Well,
no.
He's got a problem. I don't know how he's going to be able to prove his case. I mean, he's caught with the situation, and he's got to be able to prove and show that he was there under false pretenses and that he had no intentions of doing this. And remember, you know, the law is all about intent. If you killed somebody and you didn't intend on doing that, you can't be held liable in a criminal action. And I bring a case up that I've spoken about numerous times where a woman had left a child in a car, okay, and ran into the store to do something or whatever and got sidetracked, forgot that she had the baby in the car, and when she came out, the baby was dead. She was tried criminally, found guilty, and sentenced to jail. I don't remember how much time they got. But, you know, it's got to be a brain-dead lawyer that was in the case, because, you know, the fundamental of justice and law is, you know, you have to have intent. You have to prove intent. That woman clearly did not intend to kill her child, and clearly that's enough punishment for her to begin with, that she's got to live with the rest of her life. But the bottom line is they went further than that and put her in jail. How dare they do that? Think about that. How dare they do that? Just because she did something stupid. Yeah, a life was lost, but it was her child. And that doesn't make it right, of course, but the point is there's no intent. Okay, so there can be no crime if there is no intent.
Yeah, I think this is his case. He was not hired for that, and he does have some kind of documentation. It's somebody that he met online, they texted. I don't know if that's enough, or they even gave him a hotel to stay when he came up there. He went like from North Carolina to Texas.
Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, a stupid lawyer who's smart in other things, they'll turn around real quick and say, well, those are words that we use just to hide the fact that it's a human being. They all know what's going on. You know, so that's a problem, of course, because, you know, again, I don't know where that case would go. I'm not the lawyer in that case, so I'm not defending anyone. So, you know, there's a lot of facts you got to get. You got to get documentation. There's a lot of information that's got to be gotten. And, you know, anybody that goes into court, if they took our course here, court access, and court access in the common law course, we teach the common law, and we teach these things about intent and contract, that you have to have a contract or something of that nature in order to be liable for equity, for instance. But in this case, is this federal, by the way, or is it state?
State of Texas.
All right. Well, it's good that it's in the state, because the feds don't really have the authority to hear the case anyway, unless they were involved in illegal commercial activity. And I guess that could be called illegal commercial activity, you know. But that would have to be an interstate thing for the feds to get involved. So, okay, so it's in Texas. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you on this. I mean, you got to be able to, they got to get in there and prove the case. That's all that has to be done. And,
let me ask you.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something? He doesn't have the money to hire an attorney, and I'm just trying to see if there's any way I can help him. I don't know how.
Well,
he's got an appointed attorney.
Is he a citizen of the United States? Was he born in the United States?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, born in the United States.
Well, again, you know, the shame is we're not getting a proper education. A proper education would teach us court access as much as it would teach us the Constitution, and it would teach us, you know, the Bill of Rights, which is part of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundation of our law, and the principles of common law, and the procedures of due process, which is what we teach in our course. So when people get in trouble and now they go to learn, I really would like to suggest to people very, very strongly, you should know the law. You really should. Don't think you're not going to get stuck in a situation, because you never know. You never know. And you should be able to handle all your legal activities instead of giving a zillion dollars to these bar attorneys, minions of the New World Order. People, everyone should be taking this course. If you think you can find a better course somewhere else, well, fine. But this course here that we give, which is Court Access in the Common Law course, you click on that button right there, and it'll give you. We give you the first session for free, so you can see what it's about. It's like a three-hour part of the course. Each one of these sessions are 3 hours long. It's a total of, I think, 90 hours altogether, process, how the court works, how the court system works, how to file the papers, what is required to file a case or to respond to a case. We talk about all the forms, everything. It's all in here. Everything.
Okay. Yeah, that was my next question. I saw that first video, and I'm getting ready to sign up for that.
That's everyone. Let me tell you, you're in jeopardy if you don't know the law. We will push, and I'll push this through the committees of safety. It'll be up to the people in the grassroots level, and I do believe most, if not all, of the people in the grassroots level will push for a proper education to our children. And pushing for a proper education to our children requires them to know the law, the real law, to know the Constitution, to know what liberty is. Your liberty is in the law, okay? And it's our heritage. Our heritage, is ultimately liberty. That's our heritage. But it's in the law, And if you don't know it, you're going to be abused. And if you don't know it, you don't know how to protect yourself. And you don't know how to defend yourself. So, but we need to teach our children. When our children go to school, when they come out of school, they should know how to handle a weapon. They should have fired weapons, even an assault weapon. They should learn how to drive. They should learn the common law. They should learn the due process and how it works and how to get into courts and how the courts work. That should be all part of their education. That's what is meant to be a true American, because we are a republic, and a republic is a people of the law. And in our case, we're the only natural law republic, and that's key. We're a natural law republic, only one in the world. There's the second one ever in the world, okay? The first one was Israel. The United States was the second. England came very close, but never really achieved it either. But we've been subverted, and we need to get it back. But you can only get it back through education, and you can't get it back if you have ignorant sheriffs, because ignorant sheriffs don't know the law. They can't protect you, which is their job, to back you up as far as the Constitution is concerned, but they're not doing it because they can't. They don't have a spine. They don't have a spine because they don't know the law. They're ignorant being educated in the law, number one. They also don't have other sheriffs around them in the counties around to back them up because they don't know the law. It's a mess, and we the people are the only solution to that. We need to buy these people the books. We've made, look, at this is a 550-page book, 8.5 by 11. It's a hardcover book, okay, and it's only $39.95. These books will go for $100, $200, $80, okay? I put it as cheap as possible. We're only making a couple of bucks on a book, okay? But, you know, that supports us, of course. But the bottom line is the knowledge is really cheap. So, you know, people should really consider getting the book for themselves, too. Court Access in the Common Law. And Government by Consent, and definitely get your sheriff the book Government by Consent, because that's what's going to give them, understanding and education in what they're, and we tell them exactly what their job is in this book. We have a whole chapter on sheriffs. We lay out all of their duties, and we straighten out all of the misunderstanding they have concerning the law in that book, that the civil law is not the law. They are not code enforcers. They are law enforcers. And that's what we teach them in the book. So, anyway, we've come to
pretty
the
good.
End. You got anything else? Because we got to go in a minute or two.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate the information.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Thanks. And next time, try to come in on a computer if you can, or get an app for your smartphone or whatever, because you'll be able to see the desktop and be more connected with what we're talking about, visually speaking anyway. Okay?
Okay. I just signed up. How do you do that? I did download the app, but I was asking for a meeting code, which I don't have.
Yeah, the meeting code, it should be up on the page. Let's see. Monday Night Call, you click on that. Let's see. Then type in NLA for the online meeting ID. And choose your audio option. We don't have a password. So when you put the app in, you put NLA, that's the meeting code, and then you choose audio option, you know, whatever your audio option is on that, and you come in. And then you'll be able to see our desktop as we talk.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. All right, thank you again.
All right, thank you. Gerard, you got anything before we close down? I put Gerard to sleep again, eh?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. All right, Wednesday. Well, let's talk with Randy and you and me tomorrow to prepare for Wednesday's meeting.
Yeah, you and I got to get on the phone with Randy.
Yeah, so connect with me tomorrow sometime. Yep. Your program's tomorrow, right? Tuesday? No, it's Wednesday.
No, Wednesday.
Wednesday. No. Okay, so yeah. We can talk tomorrow. Maybe give me a call at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock or something. Sometime in the morning, let's get Randy. What time zone is Randy in, do you know?
He's west, 3 hours different.
Okay, so maybe 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I should connect with him. But you got his connection information, so let's see.
Yeah.
Terry,
yeah.
Please try again to get a hold of Brent. And Jan, I guess Anthony will be contacting you and make another meeting, and also maybe make sure we pull LJ into that and the others we spoke about. So. Okay, with that, we're going to end tonight. Thanks all for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And we have other meetings going on. You can find them under a Monday night meeting call here. We have other meetings happening also. We have Bible studies on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And we have, I know there's a prayer meeting. I think it's, I forget what night the prayer meeting is on. And there's other meetings. So, okay. Good night, everybody.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
The end.